Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Girl, I need extra consent. Girl, I need extra consent. I ain't making no assumptions like the rest of them gents. Girl, I want extra consent. For every different position, I got a unique fetish. Get off on getting permission, girl.
Two shots of liquor to see if I go home with you.
I like you. It's simple. Initial on the nipple.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. My body is a temple.
Yeah.
You being real polite and I appreciate it.
That was Lizzo with Extra Consent. She was on The New Negroes with Baron Vaughn and Open Mike Eagle. You can check out that video online. This is Stand Up with Chris DiStefano. Nicole Boyce is here.
Woo!
Denim on denim. It's a good look on you.
It's a nice day out. It's summertime. I'm feeling good.
You do feel good. You feel good. You look good. You look healthy. You look glowing.
Thank you.
Look like you had some avocado omelets and mashed potatoes
it's
on the side.
Funny you say that because I did have some avocados.
That's what I thought.
With mashed potatoes on the side. Which
now... No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I didn't like the mashed potatoes.
You don't like the mashed potatoes on the side?
No.
I like mashed potatoes on the side, but I'm also an Irish piece of shit. So,
okay.
Are you Mexican?
I am Mexican, yeah.
Mexican, so
people mashed at potatoes home can probably hear that in my voice.
Not big in your culture, big in, it's big in, mashed potatoes are big in a divorced mom culture. It's an easy thing to make. My mom used to whip up. A divorced mom is about whipping things up because she doesn't have time.
Yeah.
Because she's divorced. She's working three jobs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she may be dating life. She's also drinking a beer. My mom is always drinking a beer, whipping something up. It's divorced mom shit.
Yeah. She's on the go.
Yeah. So I love mashed potatoes.
Okay.
My mom's big music fan. She always used to play music. And that's what this episode's about today. The theme song is going to be comedy music.
It's going to be cute. I love that Lizzo song.
Lizzo's the best. I saw her on Two Dope Queens. Shout out Phoebe Robinson.
Shucks.
And I started comedy with Phoebe Robinson.
Really?
If you would have told...
You never told me
let
that.
Me be crystal clear about something
crystal
right
clear.
Now with you, Nicole.
Christy.
Okay? Here's what happens.
Yeah.
Here's what happens when you do stand-up in New York. If you're doing stand-up, if you start your comedy career
yeah.
in New York or L.A., most likely, the crew that you start with,
mm-hmm.
one or two of those people... Or in my case, about 10 of them are going to get fucking huge.
Oh, yeah?
I started comedy. Like, I'm talking about initial open mics, 4:45 p.m., signing your name on a piece of paper outside Eastville Comedy Club or Laugh Lounge Comedy Club. Like, day jobs, getting off the bus. Like, nobody, zero people knew us. We are nothing. Eating 99-cent pizza. We have no money. I was living with my mom.
Uh-huh.
Phoebe Robinson. Michael Che. Pete Davidson.
Oh my God.
Hasan Minhaj. When he came to New York.
Heard of him?
Yeah. Heard of him. Michelle Wolf. Are you fucking kidding me? What a class. Here's the thing. Everybody with comedy, you know, you're always in some kind of class, and some classes have huge stars. Like somebody was in Dave Chappelle's comedy class, like whatever.
Sure.
My class is, there's like a lot of people who are multimillionaires. Out of my class.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I'm doing okay. I have a decent career, but like, nope, I'm not even in the top 10 in my own class. I'm in the top 10, but I'm not in the top 5. Michael Che, Pete Davidson, Michelle Wolf, fucking.
That's a really good. Why
Phoebe
do you think
Robinson?
That what happened that all those people just came up together?
I don't know.
Something
like, there must be something, but it's like everybody. Like, started to, like, move really quickly. Andrew uh-huh. Schultz in my class.
Oh, my God.
All these people just started to move. Mark uh-huh. Norman, Sam Morrill.
And Phoebe Robinson was in that.
Phoebe Robinson was in that class. But if you would have told me that Phoebe, because she was always great, but, like, that she was going to be, like, as big as she is, like, we would be like, oh, no, but, you know, there was other people in the class. You'd be like, oh, this girl's going to go further. Or this kid's going to go further. But they didn't. Like, that's the thing you never, that's
you never
thing
know. With
you really just don't know. The next day, somebody's scary. Just fucking huge. There were certain people that we were like, even Phoebe would admit, like there was this one kid, Rob Torres. Mm-hmm. He used to fucking annihilate, mm-hmm. like blow the roof off. He doesn't do it anymore. Quit. Yeah, people just quit.
People quit. It's hard,
the
though.
Name of
it's
this
hard.
Game in comedy, yeah. as we've talked about this, is consistency. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. You have to, every week, just put your shit out.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so Phoebe, I saw this girl, Lizzo, on Two Dope Queens.
She kind of blew up in a similar way.
See, I didn't know Lizzo until Two Dope Queens, but now, big Lizzo fan. Big Lizzo
Her
fan.
Her album is incredible. That came out a little while ago.
By the way,
so
do you know
good.
How, when I say huge... name the movie. You just made a big mistake. Huge.
Pretty Woman.
Chloe from the corner with Pretty Woman. Nicole?
Thank God, well, Chloe's here.
I don't know if you were in the studio last. Did you hear that Nicole doesn't even know this fucking movie?
Pretty Woman? I know Pretty.
No, but like you didn't know. There were certain things
I
you didn't know
pretty.
And it offended me. And next episode, we're going to talk. You know what we're going to do next episode? I'm telling you what we're going to do on the next episode of this podcast.
What?
We're going to play only comedians from Comedy Central's library, 1990. Not early 90s, before you're even born. That's what we're going to do. Can we
born,
do that, Chloe?
I was born in
that,
2001,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were born on 9/11. So how was your comedy weekend? What did we do?
I had a great comedy weekend. I didn't really do any. I can't remember.
Right, because you're smoking marijuana.
Yeah, because I'm born in 2001 and smoke weed all the
you're
time.
Smoking weed, you need to eat more mashed potatoes.
Fragile.
They're good for your brain.
I didn't like those mashed potatoes with the omelet. It doesn't feel good in my stomach.
Nicole,
what did you do this weekend?
This weekend I had spots at the Comedy Cellar.
Beautiful.
Like seven of them. So oof, it's like
big payday
marathon. And then I working on my new hour.
Okay.
Which, by
how
the way,
that?
Every Wednesday 7 p.m. Fat Black Pussycat.
Okay.
Downtown Manhattan, Comedy Cellar. You can see Chrissy work on his new hour, which I can't call size 38 waist right now because I'm in 36 now, unfortunately.
What?
So we're going to have to think of a dip. Some working titles. We could work this out. I'm thinking about, I have a bit about my dad. I'm telling a lot of stories about me from childhood. My dad, I always say he had the right intention but the wrong move. So I'm thinking about calling this special Right Intention, Wrong Move. Just since I'm feeling it.
Okay.
Chloe doesn't love it.
Okay.
I could see Comedy Central Brass doesn't love it. But we're just talking. We're just thinking this out. So we'll do that.
Right
I'd like
intentions.
Actually, if fans want to tweet at us what they think I should name my
oh,
stash.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. Get some crowdsourcing.
And then
shit.
Here's what's going to happen. I'm putting this out into the universe right now. You ready for what I'm about to tell you what's going to happen right now, Nicole?
Yeah,
to happen is my second hour special is going to come out.
Uh-huh.
My cartoon is going to get on the air on Comedy Central. It's going to change things. Not for us. It's just we're going to move up a level as a group, you and I.
Uh-huh.
We're going to move up.
Uh-huh.
Stock's going to go up for us.
Stocks.
It's going to start getting really big. Then what's going to happen is Chris DiStefano is going to present Nicole Boyce's half hour.
Oh, my God.
That's what's going to happen.
Oh, my God.
That's what's
going to
happen.
Okay.
Chris DiStefano is going to present
this
Nicole
again.
Boyce's half hour on Comedy Central
Let's
Fridays, 11 o'clock.
Universe.
Go fuck yourself. Number 18 on Apple Podcasts.
12.
Oh, we're 12?
12,
oh,
baby.
Shit, I dropped this down 6 points.
This is the number 12 podcast on Apple Podcasts. Probably going up as we speak.
Seriously,
I mean,
it's going down. How could it be? It's not going down. It's not going down. It's got to be
going
up.
We're going to get it. This is going to be a number one.
And we're going to
start. Top of Billboard charts.
Seriously, I was so excited when we charted. I charted.
That should be the name of your special.
Charted, yeah. What charted? Charted. Charted.
Just the word
when
charted.
When we charted, I charted.
When this charts, all charts. That's the name of your special.
Yeah.
You can use that. You don't even have to credit me.
Don't have to use it. All right, fine.
So you like music comedy?
I do actually like music comedy.
Can you perform music?
No. See, okay. And that's why I think I like it. By the way, go online. If you want to see how bad I am at music, go online. Last year at Moon Tower Comedy Festival for the part of the goddamn Comedy Jam,
uh-huh.
which was a Comedy Central show,
uh-huh.
I performed Whitney Houston, I Want to Dance with Somebody.
That's a
and
hard
I brought,
song to sing, Chris.
I brought the one and only Mateo Lane onto stage with
that's
me.
That's even worse for you.
To help me, to take the focal point off my bullshit. So you can find that online. I am not good at music at all. I enjoy music.
Uh-huh.
My favorite musicians, again, as we know, Whitney Houston, NSYNC. I like things that you wouldn't think I liked.
The greats.
I mean, I like Mobb Deep, and I like Eminem, and I like rappers, but I really, if I'm playing Fuel, I've been playing that song Hemorrhage. In my hair again.
Chris,
just been playing
I love
that.
Creed, and I
Creed?
Like Nickelback.
Yeah.
And I like pop music.
Seriously, I like it.
I
know,
love pop music.
I know we're all supposed to know this like underground artist, and he or she is probably very good at what they do, and I do enjoy some of their songs, but for the most part, I'm just kind of like, I'm Chrissy Commercial. I just mm-hmm. like a mainstream song that's on the radio. I know it's bullshit, mm-hmm. and real music fans like, gross.
But it's made. Like it's made to be pop songs. There's something so beautiful about pop song that's just made to be stuck.
Do you know
in
what song makes me happy?
What?
Carly Rae Jepsen, Call Me Maybe.
Oh my God,
legit
Chris,
makes me happy.
This is crazy. We just hit a breakthrough in our friendship.
I just want to say, I think not liking a song because it's popular is just as bad as liking a song because it's popular.
Thank you. That's what I'm trying to say. What's your favorite song?
Truth Bomb.
Who's your favorite musician?
Lady Gaga.
Who?
Lady Gaga.
Perfect.
I would die for Lady Gaga.
I'm sure I told you about the time I met her already on the podcast.
What?
What? Are you fucking kidding me? Did I never say this on the podcast?
You met Lady
Gaga? Holy shit. Yes, I met Lady Gaga. Okay. Oh my God. I can't believe I've never told you this.
I know this is
kind of comedy related. Comedy got me here. Comedy got me to the opportunity to meet Lady Gaga. Okay. So it's 2000, I want to say 14. Whenever they had the MTV Music Awards at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn,
like right
whatever year that
way.
Was, 2014, 2015, and there's proof of this. There's a picture on my Instagram at Chris D Comedy. You got to go back 5 years, but I have a picture of this event. She opened the show. I was there with MTV when I was on Guy Code and Girl Code at the time, so we got like really good seats. We were sitting like with Justin Timberlake. We were sitting like down there, like they treated us right.
Yeah.
So. Lady Gaga performs, and she performed in a thong. I don't know if you guys remember. Like, she performed in a thong, and it was great. And
this is like the VMAs, right?
This is the VMAs, right. In 2014 or 15, whenever it was at the Barclays Center. So she performs in a thong. Uh-huh. So she after the performance, Kevin Hart was hosting. Kevin Hart's on stage. Uh-huh. She comes up to the seats, which is about 5 or 6 rows in front of us, mm-hmm. and nobody even thought to do this. But I was like, fuck it. In my head, a light just went up and said, I'm going to get a picture of Lady Gaga.
Oh.
Covered in security. Surrounded by her security, I meant to say. She's still in the thong. Uh-huh. She's still in the thong. This lady's walking around with like a crop top and the thong on, sitting in her seat. Because Lady Gaga, she does what she wants. She makes the rules.
Oh, yeah.
I go. I'm like, hey, can I get a picture? Her security guard was turning around like, hey, got a picture? She goes, make it quick. So I put my face in with my hand with the stuff, with my left hand. And this happened now. I was just so nervous. I did not intend to do this, but it's truly what happened. Take the selfie with my right hand, have my left hand on her lower back like that, because I'm just so nervous. I don't even, not even think about hand place. It's really quick. Boom, get the picture, which is a dead on good picture. As I'm going, like saying thank you, my hand hits her butt. Like hits
Chris!
Her butt. Like to the fat point that it jiggled, like a real hit. I was so nervous. And she looked at me and she goes, don't wash that hand. And then winks at me. I swear to God. And I was just, and then winks at me. And the security guard looked at me, like, because he saw it happen, like a fucking pit bull with rabies. Like, looked at me. And then as soon as Lady Gaga said, don't wash the hand, winked, he turned around and they walked. And I couldn't fucking believe. And I was dating a girl at the time who was there with me, and she was furious.
Oh, yeah, right.
Furious.
So.
I got the picture with Gaga and I touched her butt.
Oh my God.
What am I going to do? All my boy, everybody, Lil Duval, Andrew Schultz, Jeff Dye, all these guys were there. I was like, my fucking hand! Touch Lady Gaga's sweaty butt. They were like, yeah!
Can I touch your hand right now?
Dude, touch it. Left hand. Still hasn't been washed 6 years later.
Oh my God. That was magical.
What a story.
I have a really good Lady Gaga story.
Let's go. Chloe can beat
kind of
sexual harassing Lady Gaga.
I have to be kind of careful about this, though, because I can't be specific. And I have receipts for this story, but one time I was with friends, and we made our way into Lady Gaga's hotel suite at an unnamed hotel, and we tried on all our clothes, and I have pictures.
What?
Yeah.
What?
How the fuck did you get in there?
I'll tell you after.
Okay. Holy shit, she put on Lady Gaga's clothes.
Okay, so everyone in this room has, like, hung out
Nicole.
With Lady Gaga, except for me. The closest I've gotten is watching A Star Is Born 10 times.
Yeah, well, what's the common thing? We eat mashed potatoes. That's what it's about.
Dude, okay. We got to use this podcast to get back to Gaga.
Back to Gaga.
Back to Gaga.
We're going
to
get, I'm going to say it again. I'm all about putting things in the universe. Lady Gaga will be a guest on this podcast. I'm putting it in the universe.
I don't know.
Lady Gaga, here's one of two things going to happen. Either Lady Gaga is going to be a guest on this podcast, or you and I are going to meet Lady Gaga because she's going to become
LG6
a fan of this
coming
somehow.
Out soon. Oh
absolutely.
God. Oh my God. This is
love
insane.
It.
Okay.
Yeah.
We should play the next clip.
Want to do the next clip?
Pass out.
All right. Yeah. Let's get to some clips. We're going to do Bo Burnham and Trevor Moore.
Woof. A block.
Hell yeah.
Okay, class. Open up your history books, and I want each of you to tell me what was your favorite thing about the Founding Fathers. Billy, you first.
My favorite thing about the Founding Fathers is that they gave us freedom.
Okay. Candace.
My favorite thing about the Founding Fathers was that they were honest and couldn't tell a lie.
That's nice. Caleb.
My favorite thing about the Founding Fathers is that they were straight-up gangsters and didn't give a fuck about shit.
George Washington, but it's the general to you. Or you could call me President 1, not 3 or 2. And you probably heard a lot of silly stories about me, but let me lay it down how raw I really used to be. I got a hemp operation back at the plantation, selling the stickiest shit around the new nation. So come run and find me if you wanna get high, cause honestly I got the bombest, I cannot tell a lie. Try. Of course I'm gonna try. Bag it up and break it and then just let them buy it. And if the Brits wanna come and take a piece of the cut, I'll raise a whole fucking army, let them see what's what. The king's like, yo, I gotta get paid. I'm like, tough titty, cause y'all's a whole ocean away. And you can try to send some ships to come and make me pay up, but that's an awful long way just to suck these nuts. You get my fucking message, son? Take it, Thomas Jefferson.
Sell drugs, run guns, nail sluts, and fuck the law. We're Founding Fathers, we're Rushmore shit, and we were all high as balls. The Declaration of Independence, I wrote so high, I'm surprised it makes sense. But we find these truths to be self-evident. It goes puff, puff, pass, the next round you get skipped.
Abe Lincoln, I know what you're thinking. Greatest president ever, I'll have what he's drinking. Yeah, well see, that's where you'd be wrong. Cause if you wanna chill with me, you better go and grab that bomb. Or an apple or a can, see you do not understand. Faded 24-7, cause that's just the way I am. I can see you're having a little trouble believing me. Then check this letter that I wrote, recorded down in history, ahem. Two of my favorite things are sitting on my porch and smoking a pipe of that sweet hemp, of course. That's a quote that I wrote while I was still in office. But enough of that, I am too high, I have to back up office. Where's my horse? I think I need to go and ride him home. I was supposed to leave about 4 score and 20 rips ago. You see my hat? I like it. I kinda think it looks like a stove. Scratch it, pass it one more time, and let me hit it for the road.
Sell drugs, run guns, nail sluts, and fuck the law. We're Founding Fathers, we're Rushmore shit, and we were all high as balls. And don't let them try and tell you we grew, we're just a rope. You can check what we wrote down in our harvest notes. We separated seeds that we found more potent. In layman's terms, we were into getting bent. Smoking out the Continental Congress. Everybody's bitches be like all up on us. Patrick Henry's in the corner looking pretty well spent. Ben Franklin got so high he forgot to be president. Your girl just said she never had it hit so good. Smoked so many trees that my fucking teeth turn wood. And if they make a monument to me when I die, it'll be a giant abstract joint up in the sky. But you know they're gonna whitewash me, make up some corny shit about me chopping cherry trees. It's hard to control a people if the founders are thugs, so they'll just teach that I was all prayers, puppies, and hugs. But that just ain't the way it was. We set this whole place up with a hell of a buzz. So next time they try and tell you that this stuff is wrong, look at a dollar, light a blunt, fucking sing my song. Sell drugs, run guns, nail sluts, and fuck the law. We're Founding Fathers, we're Rushmore shit, and we were all high as balls. The Declaration of Independence, I wrote so high, I'm surprised it makes sense. But we find these truths to be self-evident. It goes puff, puff, pass, the next round you get scared. We're the founders, and we found this, and we found it, this on cannabis. We're the founders, and we found this, and we found it, this on cannabis.
Mount Rushmore crew, stone monument to some monumental stoners.
But anyway, I want to thank you very much once more for coming. This is my favorite thing to do, to perform. And you coming allows me to do that, and I really, really do appreciate that. Honestly and genuinely, I will now recede back into my stage persona.
I just blacked out for 10 seconds.
Love songs used to be so beautiful, you know? Let us go then, you and I, when the evening is spread out against the sky like a patient itherized upon a table. T.S. Eliot, beautiful. Love songs nowadays, just as beautiful, guys, if not more. Justin Bieber, One Direction, Usher, you know them. You know their love songs. Beautiful, complex love songs. But these new artists, the J. Biebs, the 1Ds, the Ushers, They've done something very strange to the format and the structure and the purpose of love songs. And I tried to capture how they've changed it with this love song. I hope you enjoy it. And most importantly, mark the differences. Jason Derulo. I love your hair, I love your name, I love the way you say it. I love your heart and you're so smart because you gave away it. I love your sis, I love your dad, I love your mom. But more than all of that, I love the fact that you are dumb enough to not realize everything I've said has been said before in a thousand ways, in a thousand songs, sung with the same four chords. But you'll still love it and let me finger you. Yeah, finger you, finger you. Oh girl, I hope you don't think that I'm rude when I tell you that I love you, boo. I also hope that you don't see through this cleverly constructed ruse designed by a marketing team, cashing in on puberty and low self-esteem and girls' desperate need to feel loved. America says we love a chorus, but don't get complicated and bore us. Though meaning might be missing, we need to know the words after just one listen. So repeat stuff, 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 yeah. Love my baby and you know I couldn't live without her, but now I need to make every girl think this song's about her, just to make sure that they spread it like the plague. So I describe my dream girl as really, really vague, like I love your hands cause your fingerprints are like no other. I love your eyes and their bluish, brownish, greenish color. I love it when you smile that you smile wide, and I love how your torso has an arm on either side. Now if you're my agent, you might be thinking, oh no, sound the alarms, you're not appealing to little girls who don't have arms, but they can use iTunes, so fuck 'em, who needs 'em? Oh, girl. Oh, hello, Satan. Satan, you taste so good. Repeat stuff, repeat stuff, repeat stuff, repeat stuff, repeat stuff. Everybody. Come on, louder, I can't hear you. Young ones, listen up. I'm in magazines full of model teens so far above you. So read them and hate yourself, then pay me to tell you I love you. And your parents will always come along, because their little girl is in love, and how could love be wrong? How could love be wrong? When you repeat stuff, repeat stuff, repeat stuff, repeat stuff. I am a vessel. Oh, 666. Illuminati. Freemasons. Oh, we know it's not right. We know it's not funny, but we'll stop beating this dead horse when it stops spitting out money. But until then, we will repeat stuff.
That was Bo Burnham with Repeat Stuff and Trevor Moore with Founding Fathers rap. I mean, the comedy music thing, it's just, it's one of those things, like, it's so mind-blowingly hard that, like, to me, like, I can't even fathom how they do it.
Right.
Like, how does Bo Burnham even think of this shit?
I don't know. I was a huge Bo Burnham fan, like, in his YouTube days, because I was like 3 when that was coming
out. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
And that was like so crazy to me, the stuff that he was doing on YouTube as like a young kid. I was like, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Well, Bo Burnham's like, he's like Mozart. He's like prodigy kid. Like, yeah. I mean, he's not even 30 yet, right? I mean, he's even 30 and he's got like 10 albums, specials. Sick, like just crushes.
Directed
like,
a movie.
He's like John Mulaney. Him and John Mulaney are like, they do different things, but like they're both like, we're just young, crushing it.
Yeah, yeah.
They could
just
do it that like that. But Bo Burnham, he's another guy from Massachusetts. Everybody from Massachusetts, any comedian from, if you want to be a famous comedian, just say you're from Massachusetts or just go live in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Because there's just like, they're so fucking funny there.
Yeah.
They're good. And then Trevor Moore, near and dear to my heart, Founding Fathers. I love history.
I know, that song is made
history
for
Hyenas.
You. You love
podcast,
history.
Get it. Not number 12 on Apple, I'll tell you that much. But Santa with Chris Stefano is.
Number 12. It is, it's funny because I think songs work so well for comedy because there's the same kind of build up and then the punchline always in the chorus. Like it's very similar construction to a joke.
And it's also like, think about it as an audience member.
Yeah.
Like if I wasn't involved in comedy, I think I'd rather go watch a musical comedian than somebody doing stand-up. Because the thing is, with somebody doing stand-up, it can go good or bad. I mean, I mean, you watch Bill Burr or Chappelle. I mean, these guys will blow the fucking roof off. But you can also watch a comedian that maybe you don't love so much. And then you're like, damn, this hour is going long. Where with music, it's just like you're in a good mood. Even if you don't like those songs, like they're going to do the next song. And like the beat, like you're going to love it.
Yeah.
So
yeah. It's very accessible.
And, you know, there is like a stigma in comedy, be like, oh, what are you, a guitar act? That's what people say.
Uh-huh.
People don't like musical comedians. Obviously, people respect Bo Burnham and Trevor Moore, but there's some talk in comedy like, oh, what do you play an instrument? Because they think it's like a crutch. But really, to be good at musical comedy, you have to be so supremely talented.
Yeah.
There's a lot of comedians that aren't good at musical comedy, and maybe they do use it as a crutch, and those people, you never hear of them. You just see them around at the clubs. Just they look, you know, drunk and homeless, but Bo Burnham and Trevor Moore, like these guys are just good musical
acts. Why do you think people see it as a crutch? Like what?
Well, it's really, it's not, again, the thing is a lot what stand-ups see as a crutch, and it's like some stand-ups will be like I've heard stand-ups shit on certain comedians for doing impersonations. It's like, do you realize the talent inside the person doing the impersonation is so mind-blowing, and like you're just, because you can't do it is the reason why you're shitting on it. That's a lot of, there's a lot of like, there's a lot of like that, you know, they have such low self-esteem. So many comedians have, their self-esteem is so, they just want to find a reason why so-and-so is doing well and they're not. That's what it is. Truly what
it is.
It's
like a competitiveness.
Sure.
I think that kind of exists across industries, maybe.
Yeah.
Competitiveness is everywhere.
I go by what the audience, I mean, listen, if you're selling tickets, man, even if I don't think you're that funny or whatever, it's got, who cares what I think? You're selling out wall to wall. You're doing something right. That's the way I look at it. As long as you're not stealing. The only thing you can't do in this business is steal. If you steal a joke, it's like being branded a pedophile. Like, you can be proven innocent, but you're not washed. That's it. Like, don't come near me. Don't come near my fucking children again.
Yeah.
It's what it is. Yeah.
Stealing
if that's
a
how,
joke?
That's how, that's, I take it like that. If you, if I hear you stealing a joke, you can't come around my children. You can't come around the kids.
Because
I don't know what you're
going
to steal from them.
Because who knows what else you'll steal?
Don't, that's
property.
Literally, there are no rules in stand-up other than don't steal.
Do you do impressions? Do you like, I mean, do you have like little quirky things like
that? I can
that
only
that you
impersonate
do?
People that you don't know. Like in the sense that like, not, I'm sorry, not talking about celebrities that like I can impersonate people from my neighborhood and I could do impersonations of family members that are spot on that will kill at Thanksgiving. But as far as Saturday Night Live goes,
room.
Like, listen, unless your Aunt Eileen gets famous, we just have no room for you.
Yeah,
you know,
that
kind of thing.
Sense.
Yeah. So I've never, that's another thing too. You know what's another thing that you do in as a New York comedian that kind of feel like, okay, I've done everything New York has to do? I told you, do stand up on the David Letterman show or the Tonight Show when it was in, you know, now I guess with Fallon. You get a Comedy Central half hour, an hour. You get it at the Comedy Cellar. And you know what's another thing you, like all New York comics do, and I unfortunately haven't had the pleasure of doing it? You audition for Saturday Night Live. Like actually audition at 30 Rock in front of Lorne Michaels. Everybody's got like a How Bad They Bombed in front of Lorne Michaels audition SNL story. Obviously some people actually get the show.
Right.
But I've never even auditioned.
We're going to get you in there.
We got to just, I just want an audition. I don't want the show.
Just
I would expect, I'm not the kind of comedian I can't become other people. So I don't work on that show. I'm aware of that, but I like the audition.
Tweet your senators.
Tweet your senators. It's not right if I don't get an audition.
I realized recently that everyone, like, I was thinking of, I didn't realize until very recently that any comic I know that's not on SNL has probably auditioned
sure.
for SNL. I didn't put that together in my head until,
I'm the
like,
only one out of my friend group and comedians that hasn't even auditioned. Like, everybody's like, you know, I'll send the group chat, like, what are you guys doing? Like, auditioning for SNL. It's like, I'm not.
That's a sick group chat.
Louis C.K. told the story once on a Marc Maron podcast, how he watched everybody get huge. Like, everybody was writers for SNLs, everybody was getting on SNL, and he had nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, just 10, 15 years went by, and then just, boom, blew up. So that happens,
well,
too.
I don't know if he's the one we want to use. Staple anymore.
Well, that's another good conversation about comedy. It's because it's like, there's off the field stuff that's not good at all, but that you can't discredit their work on stage. You know what I mean?
You separate it.
You have to. I think you have to.
You have to.
It's the same thing with Michael Jackson. It's like, you know what he did, but it's like, if you want to listen to his songs.
This took such a turn.
I know, but it's just. No, but it did, but it's true, though. It's like, it doesn't matter.
I don't
Everybody
know.
Says.
I can't help but feel a little bit unsettled listening to Michael Jackson now or a Louis C.K. joke. And together, it's a bad
right.
day if I'm listening
but
to them.
But the thing is, you know what I think a big part of it is,
what?
Too? Because. You're, how old are you again? 23?
24.
So young people in their 20s, I would be the same. People in their 20s, they have to be moved. Like, you have to be like, this moves me, I'm protesting this. You have to do that.
Uh-huh.
But like, I'm in my mid-30s now. I got a kid. It's like, look, I like what I like. I know people do bad shit. I don't support any of it. But it's like, what do you want me to do?
Maybe
you know what I mean?
Generation.
What do you want me to do?
I'm
not going to listen to anything Michael Jackson does now. It's like, I know. It sucks. It does suck. It all sucks. I get it.
It sucks.
But it's like, what? There's so many things that whoever you're a fan of right now could have fucking deep,
oh,
dark
absolutely.
Closet, you know, skeletons
oh,
in the closet.
Yeah.
They could. But
everyone
we all
except
knew,
for Lady
is,
Gaga.
The thing
She's
is,
perfect.
With, I know. The thing is, with Michael Jackson, everybody knew. You just knew. I mean, everybody knew he was that way. Everybody knew. What is the
I'm just a baby, so I don't know.
What'd you say?
I'm just a baby, so
you are
I don't
just
know.
A little baby.
So.
No, but it's good. I think it's good. I think it's good to support to
it's
have.
It's good
that.
To have the conversation.
Fuck yeah! No,
I
you have
also.
No. I think you have to. People in their 20s have to. That's how this country works.
We're
that's how we
future.
Move forward. You have to. You have to be alarmed by shit. But it's like, listen, I just got, you know, I got like arthritis. I got the GERD now. Like, for me, it's like, I want to use paper straws wherever I go. I really fucking do, but it's like, I love smoothies.
They disintegrate
so, it's like sometimes,
so quickly.
Sometimes I got to use a plastic straw and a sea turtle has to die. But I'm just, you know what I mean? But I'm just older. But if I was in my 20s, I'd be like,
kale.
I'll do anything for paper. And that's fine. But it's like, I got kids now. Like,
I don't know. World's fucking burning
my
around
blood
us.
Sugars.
So we're probably going to be stuck with this for a while, I feel like. People
I know.
My age sucks. Okay, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Ask
me who I'm voting for in 2020.
Do you think I look like Beto O'Rourke?
What'd you say?
Do you think I look like Beto O'Rourke?
Beto? No,
I kind of do, right?
No, but...
But if I was on SNL, that's who I would play.
Right? If you... Yeah.
Okay.
If you would...
Who would you
I can't
play?
Think of a more perfect Beto O'Rourke than you.
I'm standing on a table right now. I record this podcast standing on a table.
Did you see... By the way, let's just bring it back to comedy real quick. And if we want to talk political, do you see a comedian just became the president of the Ukraine?
Yeah, I did.
How sick is that?
Dude, that's going to be you.
How
fucking
sick is that? 2020,
Chris DiStefano.
President.
If they can do it, you
but
can.
But not of America. I'll be president no. of some fucking random, like, Liberia.
Why would they let you be president
I don't
of
know.
That country?
I just feel like I could come in there and make some things happen,
okay,
shake some shit up.
Okay, but if you were on SNL and you were playing, you had to play one of the people that was running, who would you play?
One of the people that was running now?
For
oh, God, I don't even know who's running.
Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, I'd play the mayor.
Mayor Pete.
Which one?
Pete Buttigieg.
Pete Buttigieg.
You would play Pete
Buttigieg. I'd be Buttigieg.
Okay.
I'd be Boots.
Okay. Question about comedy, music comedy. Do
yes.
you think, okay, so comics doing music stuff. Do you think an average musician could do funny music? Like, you know, the opposite way?
Can an app, okay, what was the question?
Because we're talking about comics getting into music, you know, they
right.
Bo Burnham kind of does like stand up and then he'll do music stuff as well. Do you think your average musician could get into music comedy? Or do you think it's a different
I
brain?
Think it's more likely for the average musician to just get into comedy than the average comedian to just get into music. I think music is so hard and you have to learn, you have to know.
True.
See, basically, I think musicians' brains probably see things differently, like see it through notes and be able to read notes and all that. I think that's so hard. And I think kind of really believe like you're either born. I think you can not be born to be a comedian, but yet be a good comedian. Mm-hmm. But I don't think you can just, I think you have to have natural God-given talent
to be a musician.
To be a musician. I really do. So I think if you're, Bo Burnham was just a naturally God-given talented musician, and now he can do comedy.
Mm-hmm.
He's just extremely funny. So I don't know though. I mean, well, it depends. Like, I guess like some comedian can just like rap or something. You know, I mean that's not that that's easy to do, but like you're not gonna either you can sing or you can't sing.
That's true.
You know what I'm trying to say?
Yes, you can. That is true.
You
it's
can
very
sing, you
hard
can't.
To sing.
You can play music. You can play an instrument or you can't.
Yeah, that's true.
Kind of what it is. Comedy, I think, there definitely is a degree of either you're funny or you're not. I think the comedians at work go the furthest. We're born to do it, but I still think you can become like a working comedian. And people could be like, you were never funny in school. Like, how are you a comedian? Where, like, a musician, it's like everybody knew you were going to be Justin Timberlake because you were just so unbelievably talented when you were 10 years old.
He was Mickey Mouse Club, so.
Exactly. That's Justin Biebs.
From the beginning.
Justin Bieber. You'd be a good Bieber, too.
I get that
SNL.
A lot. I get
on
that.
On SNL, you'd be a nice Biebs.
A lot.
Rachel Maddow.
That's
another good one.
My mom thinks I look like Rachel Maddow.
I think you're prettier.
Thank you, Chris.
Sure. No problem. No disrespect, Mrs. Boyce.
I get Ellen sometimes, too. People on the subway tell me I look like Ellen.
Ellen's
is,
too...
You think about it, just homophobia.
Yeah, that's just... Yeah, I was going to say. That's... I don't see Ellen, but...
Before we started this podcast, you were telling a Lisa Traeger story.
Oh, my God.
Did you want to tell that?
Oh, my God. It's talking about music. So I've mentioned Lisa Traeger once on this podcast before.
Yeah.
Or told the Chris Rock story.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Crushed.
Lisa Traeger is the definition of a person who... You know what she was born to do? She was born to not give a fuck. That's what she was born to do. She was 100% born and bred to not care about what you fucking think of her. And I respect that and I appreciate that.
I was sitting
at the table, Comedy Cellar. this was 2016.
Uh-huh.
And it was me, Jeff Ross, John Mayer, William Stevenson, RIP, and Lisa Traeger. And Lisa Traeger wasn't sitting. She was just coming in on a conversation. She was going up to the bar to get a bottle of water or something. And John Mayer was kind of holding court, talking to us about stand-up comedy. And we were
just
listening.
Seems like someone who would hold court.
He didn't say anything that really bothered me, to be honest with you. He was just talking about, like, live performance. And he does stand-up sometimes at the Comedy Cellar. Or he used to. He doesn't anymore, probably
really?
Because of this. But he used to. And... Lisa kind of half hears what's happening.
Uh-huh.
And I knew the way she walked up to the table, I was like, she's going to say something right now. And she walks up and John's talking and she goes, John, honey, 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 stop. She goes, honey, stop. She goes, you don't know anything about stand up. She goes, you're a beautiful man. You make beautiful music. Stick to that.
Oh.
She goes, stop. And then he tried to say something. She went, stop. You don't know anything about stand up. She was like, you go on stage because you're famous and it's great and you're good with the audience. She goes, you know nothing about stand-up, so just stop.
Oh, my God.
And calling John Mayer honey and putting her fingers in her face, go stop. So you're a beautiful man. You make beautiful music. Stick to that. Was Jeff Ross got up and laughed. I thought he was going to have a stroke. Like, his head was bright red from laughter. Like,
Jeff Ross?
The veins bulging out of the side of his head. Because that's
like
what he said.
He's like a mootering his head.
Yes. Jeff Ross and John Mayer are very good friends. And Lisa's just like, listen, you're not going to talk about stand-up here.
That's
you don't
so
know what
scary.
You're talking about.
That's so scary.
So that's it. John Mayer's a good example of a musician who's very funny and can do both. Like, he could do comedy or not do comedy. You know who's a really good example of just somebody who's musically talented but is so funny that it's hard to take sometimes and a lot of people don't know?
Lady Gaga.
Justin Timberlake.
He's funny?
Justin Timberlake on Saturday Night Live is as talented as the cast members. If Justin Timberlake didn't do music, I bet you he could be on SNL just being him. Have you ever seen
him? You think Justin Timberlake could be on SNL?
Have you ever
SNL?
Seen when he hosts SNL with Jimmy Fallon, how fucking funny that guy is?
Yeah, because they're identical. People just get them confused.
Babe,
I'm telling
you.
You're thinking of Jimmy Fallon.
No, Jimmy Fallon's great, and Jimmy Fallon's excellent.
Music. He does music, too.
Watch Justin Timberlake host any SNL. What, you ever seen him as when he's the Bee Gees?
No.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll check
you
it
got
out. I'm
Nicole,
5 years old,
what?
Chris. I don't know
listen,
what the Bee Gees are.
I made this
I'm
announcement early in the podcast, and I'm sticking to it. Next episode, we are on. How far does the Comedy Central Library go back, Chloe? And how far does Comedy Central Library go back?
Infinity.
But year, like, do we have clips from like the 80s?
Probably not.
1990?
Let's see.
The earliest clips that we have from comedians 1990, 1991, Paula Poundstone. Do you know any Paula Poundstone jokes?
I do.
Okay, fine. You do.
So
at
there
least you
go.
Know her.
Okay.
But we're going to talk about alt Sam Kinison. You've ever heard a bit by Sam Kinison? You don't even know who Sam Kinison is.
I do.
Turn off the mics. We're going. It's Throwback Thursday next week. And we're only going to do, we're going to educate you on who we feel like you need to know.
The old school.
She doesn't even watch Pretty Woman. She has never seen it. Julia Roberts.
This is LA. What's your dream?
Yeah, what's your dream?
I don't know.
Big mistake. Huge.
We'll get it. We'll play all the old stuff.
All right.
Let's get into the final clip of the night.
The final clip of the night. Garfunkel and Oates. Funny girls, Garfunkel and Oates. I think I met one of them, and she was great.
You will tell the story after? Is there a
well,
story?
Well, I mean, it's not, you know.
That's it.
I just met her. We were actually at a commercial audition.
Oh.
So it was before they blew up.
Great. Yeah. Okay, we'll play the
I'm
clip.
Still auditioning for commercials. Garfunkel and Oates.
Yeah, yeah. So is anybody here pregnant?
Nobody?
No?
No.
Really?
No.
All right.
Yeah? Okay.
Well, Ricky was hanging out with three friends, and they were all pregnant. Mm-hmm.
And out of nowhere, one of them turned to me, and she goes, "What do you even do all day?" I said, "What do you mean?" She goes, "Well, I just can't really remember what I did before I was pregnant, because it all seems so meaningless." Yeah.
Yeah, so this song is for her.
Pregnant women are smug. Everyone knows it. Nobody says it because they're pregnant.
Effing son of a gun.
You think you're so deep now, you give me the creeps now that you're pregnant.
I can't count all the ways how you speak in cliches now.
So, do you want a boy or a girl?
Oh, it doesn't matter as long as it's healthy.
Really? Because I don't feel like those two things are related at all. It's not like you ever have to choose between
those things. No, as long as it's healthy. I can't wait to hear someone say,
don't care if it's brain dead, don't care if it's limbless, if it has a penis.
Pregnant women are smug,
and everyone knows it, nobody says it because they're pregnant.
This end world you're enjoying makes you really annoying.
So, is it a boy or a girl?
Oh, we know, but we're not telling.
What are you gonna name it?
Oh, we know, but we're not telling.
Who's the father?
Oh, we know, but we're not telling.
Bitch, I don't really care. I was being polite now since you know life now that you're pregnant.
You say you're walking on air.
You think that you're glowing, but you had been hoeing and now you're pregnant.
You're just giving birth now. You're not Mother Earth now.
Yeah, I have a lot going on. I got my degree, I moved, I wrote a novel.
Gosh, you know, everything seems so trivial now that I'm pregnant.
I also built that nuclear fusion reactor.
You know, I can't even really remember what I did before I was pregnant. Everything just seems so meaningless.
Nobody says it because they're pregnant.
Effing son of a gun.
You think you're so deep now, you give me the creeps now. Now that you're pregnant.
Rudy Giuliani. I'll tell you about Rudy Giuliani.
That was Garfunkel and Oates.
No.
This is Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah, here we go. I'll start out. Okay. That was Garfunkel and Oates, the best. Let me talk to you about Rudy Giuliani.
Oh,
Rudy Giuliani. No, everybody hates him now, but in New York, when you were 3 months old, when he was the mayor, people loved Rudy Giuliani. He took down the mob, but now he's a fucking nut job. Greatness! Google that clip. Google Rudy Giuliani. Greatness!
You just said you couldn't do impressions. That's an impeccable impression.
Well, yeah, but we went to the same high school.
You and Rudy Giuliani?
No. He went to the high school that my college played their college games in. That's what it is. Bishop Lachlan High School.
Okay. Bishop That's Lachlan. A cool fact.
I went to the same high school as Ray Romano, though.
Oh.
That's a cute fact. And Brian Scalero. Not Eddie Murphy.
You went to the same college as...
Nassau Community College as Howard Stern, Eddie Murphy.
There we go. And I went to high school with Meghan Markle.
Meghan
and we
Markle.
Ate lunch together
Did she
every
have the
day.
Baby yet? I don't know.
Meghan Markle and Tyra Banks went to my high school. Love them.
Love them. What do you have to say?
Garfunkel and Oates.
Garfunkel and Oates. Yeah. I met Ricky Lindholm. And Ricky Lindholm. And Lindholm, we were at a commercial audition. And she was really nice.
She was really nice.
She was really nice. And at that time, she was like, we were like talking. She was like, oh, she's like, I do like this little Garfunkel and Oates thing. She said Lil, but now it's not Lil.
It's not Lil. Now it's big time.
Huge. Huge. Julia Roberts' voice.
I don't know.
Huge. You have to watch the movie.
Oh, my God.
What's the other guy? Hector Lozado? Remember him?
Hector Lozado.
Lozado? Fucking RIP? Come on.
I'll watch it tonight.
What about this with her friend Kit? When she goes, she's asking her friend, she goes, who am I, Cinderfuckinrella? You don't know Cinderfuckinrella?
Reach Bev Well.
Reach Bev
Let's
Well.
Let's do a live, let's do the whole movie right now.
Richard Gere, the fucking Buddhist. Richard Gere, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something loud and clear.
Yeah.
If your mom was born 1960, if you're a person in your 30s right now, just know your mom has thought about Richard Gere having sex with your father. It's what it is. Every mom, Richard Gere is like, I can't think of a guy that my mom would go more fucking insane for than Richard Gere.
Really?
Absolutely. Look at him. He's had salt and pepper gray hair since he was 20 years old. He literally looks exactly the same as he did in Pretty Woman.
Hottie.
He's like, it's Richard Gere, George Clooney. These are the guys. And Denzel Washington. These are the three guys.
Those are the three hottest guys.
I think those are three guys that people's moms want to bang out.
Who do people's moms want to bang now?
I would say right now, I mean, Chris Pratt, maybe. Maybe he's too young. I don't know. Who's a good mom fuck right now?
Welcome to our new segment.
Rudy Giuliani.
I would love to have sex with Rudy Giuliani.
Could you imagine? If I walk in and you're having sex with Rudy Giuliani, I'd lose my fucking mind.
What room is
I'd,
this?
I'd vote for Trump. That's what would happen. Nicole is surprising.
What is this, like the sixth episode? We've already lost our minds.
That's what's going to happen. Well, there's no windows in this studio. We're going fucking stir crazy. It's like I'm in a Quaker prison.
Yeah, it is.
Such a random reference. Eastern State Penitentiary, Philadelphia. We're going to do a day trip. I'm going to take you to Quaker prison. Yeah, give it a list. We got
things
a lot of shit to do.
We have to watch Pretty Woman.
Listen to this, Lil Gemma came up with. I said, my second hour special is going to do great. We're going to get my cartoon on the air here at Comedy Central. We're going to get another show on the air at Comedy Central. And the stock of Nicole and I's podcast is just going to keep going. And we're going to start to become Julia Roberts' voice huge.
Yes.
2020, 2021, circa, Chris DiStefano presents Nicole Boyce's Half Hour.
And what do you think?
What do you think?
For the listeners at home, this is literally a choice Anne can actually make.
Yeah. This is literally, I'm saying it, putting it out
also,
to the universe, but really what I'm doing is I'm saying it to
episode.
The person who can make it happen. So when I say universe, I mean Mrs. Anne. Yeah. So
Queen
these are the choices.
Anne.
But Chris DiStefano presents Nicole Boyce, Comedy Central, Half Hour, After Dark, whatever bullshit, bells
after
and whistles.
After Dark.
You know,
it's just me.
You're going to call it Blowing Giuliani.
With Rudy Giuliani.
I don't know. We'll think
it's
of something crazy.
Porn.
We'll think of something crazy. Oh, Nicole, this is too much fun. I'm going to have a heart attack.
I know. We started this me going crazy about Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Ended
then
up Rudy Giuliani.
It got crazy in the middle when we started talking about politics. But now it's back on. I like that. It's just kind of on again, off again, on again, off again.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's just complete car crash. But listen.
It's a fun car crash.
And the theme of this podcast was comedy and music.
And we hit it all.
We hit it all.
Another great episode.
Seriously. How many minutes is it?
It's been like 3 hours.
It's got to be a fucking hour at least.
Yeah.
We're going crazy. I have a sunburn. I was just
somehow
literally outside.
Got full body sunburns.
I pushed my daughter
inside.
On the swings for an hour yesterday. Sunburn on the back of my neck and my forearms. That's where I'm wearing a long sleeve shirt.
Working those forearms too. That's
Babe,
a lot of.
I can't. I gotta. I
we gotta lift together.
You want to lift together?
Yeah.
Lift, dude. Let's live. Let's live and lift together. in this room with no windows.
I have to live in this room. I do
Nicole,
live here.
Nicole, serious question right now.
They don't let me
Could
out.
You, if I said for 2 weeks, I'll put like a porta potty in there or like a little shower. No, I'll give you a bucket of fresh water every day and you can bathe with the water. You have to stay in this room. You can't leave, but we'll bring you food and bevies for 2 weeks, but I'll give you $10,000 at the end. Could you do it?
I would do it for $50, Chris. I need money. I need cash flow.
There you have it.
That seems fine. I would record like the insanest podcast ever. It'd be like 8 hours long.
There's videos online of people thinking that they can do it and then they can't last like 5 days.
Really?
That's why.
Wait,
like,
how long did you say? I wasn't
listening. 2 weeks. Okay. You can't
I'm
leave the room.
About it, that does seem very hard and taxing.
That's why, like, solitary confinement, like how nuts it is. Quaker, we got to go to Houston State Penitentiary.
I know. There's we'll talk no about better the Quaker place. Prisons. You got to see it to believe.
We gotta
it.
Go. We gotta go.
We gotta end this before
we
it gets
end
any
it.
Better.
Are you gonna eat the mashed potatoes?
No, you know I don't want well. Eggs and mashed potatoes.
I can't believe that you're like that. How do the mashed potatoes feel? That you're like anti mashed potatoes. I didn't know you were like that. And it's just like really seeing your true colors now.
I'm anti-mashed potatoes, yeah. Sorry, right. I'm not PC. I don't like mashed potatoes.
Speaking of PC,
yeah.
Why don't we end the show with Just Stay for the Night, Key and Peele.
Another song about consent.
Dude,
we started.
Laugh out loud. Key and Peele, number one.
Let's Love play it.
No, you play it. I have to go home.
Okay.
My stomach hurts from the mashed potatoes, TBH.
Told you.
Stand up with Chris DiStefano every Thursday.
We'll see you after this one.
Love you. Yeah. Bye. It was a nice short run.
Would you look at the time?
You should just stay here tonight.
I've had too much wine.
You can leave at first light.
It isn't that far.
Maybe just stay where you are.
Back to my place.
You can't escape from my embrace.
I really had a very nice
Let
time.
Let me just refill that wine.
But I really
now.
Need to just say goodbye.
I would love to see you try.
Please unlock this door.
It's locked from the outside.
Baby, tonight. Look, I really have to go.
No, you really have to stay.
Hey, no means no.
That is what they all say.
You're hurting my arm.
I won't cause you any harm.
Let go of me.
We can make this harder, just easy.
A woman always comes prepared.
Ooh, I'm really scared.
I said this is not what I want.
Why you have to be such a
I know self-defense.
I dare you to try it.
I don't want to fight.
Bitch, you are mine tonight. Please, just please go
I
away.
You wanted me to stay.
Well, I just changed my mind.
I think I'll just stay.
How did this all switch?
Now you are my bitch.
Please just be kind tonight.
Now you're mine tonight.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.